are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
That he is worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation.
For he loveth our nation. Oh, glory to God. He loveth. How many know that a nation is made up of people? And so it's like saying he loved God's people. Oh, glory to God. You know, it's amazing because there are folks, they don't hardly go to church. But yet they still love the people of God. Oh, glory to God. He loves God's people. And what?
And he has built us a synagogue.
That's a good way of saying he loves God also. Oh, glory to God. The Amplified Bible says he has built us a temple at his own expense.
Yes.
Because sometimes we're not willing, Rabbi, to build... Sometimes we're not willing to put effort into building God a house. Sometimes we're not willing to put work, somebody say work, effort into building God a house. Oh, glory to God. Work, effort, money. Come on, to build God a house, oh, glory to God, he had to put some effort behind it. He had to put some work behind it. He had to put some planning behind it. Anybody in here, you're willing to build God a house? It's amazing because we were in here. I told my wife, I said, the Lord gave me these, books to read, these chapters to read. And I got to reading these books, and it was about building God a house. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying? As a matter of fact, did I tell you all that he led me also to read chapter 2? And I'm like, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, glory to God. It was kind of obvious. It was about building God a house. And then he reminded me of this story here. Oh, glory to God. So I was sitting there and I was pondering on it. We were praying here this morning, and Minister Larry began to pray about building God a house. And then my wife broke out laughing. So I'm like, okay, he's praying about building God a house. And she broke out laughing, and she said, because I was just praying that too. And I'm like, everybody in the same vein? Is everybody, what's going on here? God's talking about building a house. Oh, glory to God. Okay, all right.
Better get ready.
I heard that.
It's going
to
happen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's apparent that he loved the Lord. Oh, glory to God. You got to love, when you love something, you're willing to put your effort to it, your money to it. Come on. You'll put work to it. I remember when me and my wife, when we started ministry, and I thank God for her and my boys, because there were times when it was just us. We would have to go to the building, set up the chairs, come on, hauling chairs, setting up speakers, getting up early, oh, glory to God.
Oh, glory to God. Because it was about loving God's people and building God a house. Apparently, I married the right woman. Because everybody wouldn't have been able, had a mind to get up out the bed. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Come on. Stuff had to be bought. Keyboards, drums. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we look and we just think that it all came together. But we spent a lot of years. I spent a whole lot of time just preaching to my wife and to my boys. Come on. Doing church. Why? Because I believed in what I was called to do. I loved the Lord and I loved his people. You gotta love people. Man, when I look back I was like, man, I was wearing myself. I remember going to the jail and sometimes preaching maybe two or three sermons. Oh, praise the Lord. At least twice. And then coming back to our church, wore out trying to preach. Because I love the Lord. And I wanted people to know Jesus. So I was going to the jails. I was going to the nursing homes. Thank God my wife tolerated me. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Read, daughter.
Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, 1 Kings 8, 17 and 18.
Uh-huh.
And it reads, and it was in the heart of David.
It was in David's heart. Oh, glory to God. Is it in your heart? It was in David's heart. Now, we're not so much talking about this heart that pumps blood, but we're talking about the Bible. There are times when the Bible talks about the heart, and it's not talking about this one here. It's talking about your mind. Well, you're walking around, and it's just in your mind. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. To do something for the Lord because you love God. Read.
And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel.
In other words, here's David. David's walking around desiring to build your house. You know, I believe that, praise God, that's why the Lord has built us a house. And I'm talking about our personal house. Oh, glory to God. Even on more than one occasion. Amen. Praise God, because we've had a heart to build him a house. And I'm saying something because I believe that if you ever get a heart to build God a house, God will build you a house. You don't have to worry about having a place to stay. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God will provide. God will make a way for you to have a place to stay if you desire to build God a house, because God is not going to let you outdo him. Oh, glory to God. Read.
And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart.
You did well. In other words, it pleased God that it was in his heart. Oh, glory to God. And so, go to 1 Kings 5 and... See what I want to go next. I was just writing down scripture that the Lord was leading me. Oh, glory to God. Go to I just want to be kind of, I want to be led by the Lord, so y'all just be patient with me for 1 second. Go to 1 Kings 6:1.
And it came to pass in the 418th year.
And let me say this here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I'm just going to say yes to the Lord. I know it's more important, because it's never been a big deal for me, because to me it's been more important to build up God's people than anything. Because the people are the church, and it's not so much the building. Oh, glory to God. Who would I say no to a building? No, I would never say no to a building. Oh, glory to God. It's not for me to sit around and worry about how we're going to do it financially. You know, can I tell you something? When there are financial challenges that come to my life, I make a practice of giving more. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we wonder how do you come out of things financially? Oh, glory to God. As a matter of fact, I really don't even do a whole lot of praying about finances, about money. I have just learned to speak to money. Because I understand that the Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus and are called unto his purpose. And so what God was saying here, that everything that I have created on this here planet, I'm called to work for you. I created it, everything in the stratosphere, everything in the universe. When he said all things, he circumvented everything that he created. You know, I believe in that so much that guess what? When God created Adam, before Adam sinned and before Adam failed, oh, glory to God, I just believe that Adam really didn't have to go, you know, he had to work the garden, but I believe that his working was just probably just speaking to things. Just like his father. Oh, glory to God. He didn't have to till and do any hard labor and hard work until he had sin. So if he wanted a piece of fruit, I believe that he could just say, I want a piece of fruit, and the fruit would come to him. But that's just me. I don't know. Sometimes I get out there. Oh, glory to God. But the Bible says all things. Everything got a job. And so when you understand that all things, you don't have to sit around and do a bunch of praying. You start speaking to money and speaking what the word says. Money, the word of God says, you're supposed to dwell in my house. Oh, glory to God. So I command you to come and dwell in my house and exist in my house. So isn't it amazing that God says you don't have to work for, the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. Let me say that again. You can't serve God and mammon. You're meant to serve God, and then mammon is meant to serve you. And so because mammon is meant to serve you, all you got to do is just command mammon, or mammon is money, is wealth, to line up with the word of God concerning you. Is that all right?
Yes.
And so the hardest work that you got to do when it comes down to money is speak to it. A lot of times we haven't learned that. Some of us are poor because our mouth is poor. You have not learned to speak to money. I know this is probably some of y'all the first time you ever heard this. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. But didn't Jesus say, if you say to that mountain, go to the book of Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew. 21:21 right quick, daughter. Keep on because I just believe that this is gonna, when God do it, it's gonna be a peaceful building. Amen. A peaceful whether God have us to, you know, begin to buy a building and renovate it, or however he wants to do it, but I just believe it's gonna be peaceful. What does 21:21 say?
Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not.
Now Jesus is saying, I'm saying this unto you. I'm telling you something. If you have faith and doubt not. Read.
You shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree.
Come on, you're going to, just like I did this, you're going to be able to do this also. And?
And also, if you shall say unto this mountain.
If you shall say to this mountain.
Be thou removed.
It's not like Jesus took a small circumstance and put it out there. In other words, you speak to this rock and this rock will move. But literally, Jesus said, you're going to be able to speak to what?
Mountain.
This mountain. Now, the last time I checked, it ain't the easiest thing in the world to move a mountain. But Jesus said, you're going to be able to speak to. You think this is something that I told this fig tree to dry up and it dried up. He says, man, you're going to be able to speak to mountains. Hold up now. Speak to mountains. In the beginning, how did God create the heavens and the earth? He spoke it. The Bible says your mouth is so powerful. Come on, somebody. And I ain't got time to go all into that. But you got to learn. You got to learn, my God. You got to learn to guess what? To say it. To say what you're believing God for. In faith. Believing that it's going to be done. Read, daughter.
You shall speak to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. It shall be done.
It shall be done. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
Anybody believe that? So in other words, you got to say something. The mountain ain't going nowhere unless you begin to learn to say something. Speak to it. The Bible says you shall decree a thing. You shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. What are you decreeing and what are you saying? And so guess what? Guess what? Oh, glory to God. We begin to build. Your mouth got to be ready. More so than your pocket. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because when you look in the Bible, David didn't build, but Solomon began to build. But can I tell you something? God sent help. Okay. Can I tell you something? Solomon didn't reach out to King Hiram, but King Hiram reached out to what? Solomon. Glory to God. Because when you get ready to build, oh, glory to God, God is going to begin to have people to do what? To reach out to you. He reached out to him and said, I heard that your father died and such. What can I do for you? How can I help? Oh, glory to God. And here's Solomon. Solomon says, well, I heard you guys are the best woodcutters and stone cutters and craftsmen around. And guess what? If you can cut some wood, if you can cut some stone for me, I'll be a pleased man. And he says, man, I will help you out. I will do it. Here, God sent. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God is going to send people to help. This is why I realize now why the Lord had me to begin to read First Kings. I realize I begin to look and it just begin to jump off the page. And I'm like, my God, you sent the help. You sent the help because my wife we know that in the past we've had to reach out for help at times. But now here's God sending the help. Come on, somebody. Without him saying a word. The Bible says that they didn't start building the temple until 4 years later. Four is the number of, well, I won't go all into that, but 4 years later. They spent the first 4 years cutting stones and cutting wood. Okay. I'm gonna say that again. They spent the first 4 years because, I'm like sitting there saying, okay, why would it say, and I've read this a million times, but why would it say, 4 years later because they were cutting stones and cutting, because guess what? They did not do any hammering. They did not do any cutting inside of the city. In other words, the most they did was drag these big stones into the city and set them into place. And so how many has ever been around a construction site? And all you hear is bang, bang, boom, boom, boom. You're hearing all kinds of noise because they're doing construction. But here in the city, it was peaceful. Why was it peaceful? It was peaceful because there was no sound of construction going on in the city. Y'all, I don't know if y'all understand what I'm saying. Because sometimes God is doing things, oh glory to God, in the background, and he'll be raising things up, oh glory to God, without you even knowing it. I don't know if y'all getting this. Okay, all right. Sometimes God is raising up stones, oh glory to God, in the house. People raising up a church, raising up a ministry, oh glory to God, doing some cutting, doing some shaping. Come on, somebody. Oh glory to God, shaping you, molding you, hallelujah, out of the sight of everybody. They can't see what's going on. Oh glory to God. They don't understand that God is raising you up. God is working on you, getting you ready. Oh glory to God. Somebody say to go up. Because to build, you gotta build up. Y'all getting this? So for 4 years, they're cutting stones. They're cutting wood. Oh glory to God. They're doing measurements. You know, I don't even know anybody in here a carpenter. Ever done carpentry work? No? I mean, cause I'm like sitting there saying, how can you do all of this cutting and measure everything out? Oh, glory to God. Before you even bring it into, I know if it was me, everything would be wop-sided, lopsided. I'm like, anybody? No? Okay, I guess it's just me. You, okay, all right. I got one person that can relate. Bible says he made a league with Solomon. He moved his people, King Hiram moved his people to get out there and begin to cut wood. Oh, glory to God. They begin to bring these great big stones. And before you know it, a house was built. A peaceful building. I was sitting there and I said, God, that was peaceful. That was without a whole bunch of drama. I don't know if y'all getting this. It was without them, because sometimes you hear people, they begin to build and they just like, you know, they're like, oh man, it was all kind of drama, but it was a peaceful build and it wasn't a whole lot of drama to it. Oh, glory to God. I just believe that we can, whatever we do, whatever God would have us to do, that we could do it peacefully and we could do it without a bunch of drama. He did it when this church was renovated. As a matter of fact, God, about 2 weeks before we begin to do the renovation in here, the Lord began to show me scripture in the Bible where he stirred the people's heart to do things. And so I had forgot all about that. I had messed around and went down south, and when I came back and I had to bring, you know, some chairs because, you know, the Lord blessed us. Somebody was moved to give us chairs, and so I went to pick the chairs up, and when I got back, they were tearing the whole church up. I got back, the wall back here was torn, the curtains was torn down, they were tearing stuff up. I walked in the church and I'm like, what the devil? I said, what the devil? I thought it was the devil. Come on, somebody. Woo! I was coming in ready to fuss and fight. What are y'all doing? And they said, Pastor, we got this. You just sit on down somewhere and get out the way. And God had to remind me of what I had been preaching. That he stirred the hearts of the people to get up and to build and to give and to build and to do all of this stuff and to create things. And I was like, wow. And so guess what? It was drama free and stress free for me. Because God did it. Glory to God. It's amazing because sometimes God will have you to preach something. You'll be preaching it, and then next thing you know, it'll start manifesting. It'll start happening. Oh, glory to God. And so I want to ask you today. Is it in your heart? Oh, glory to God. Is it in your heart? Oh, glory to God. Just to examine your heart. Because God forbid, sometimes you ask God's people to do more than one thing. Okay. All right. I'm going to say that again. God forbid, sometimes you ask people to do more than one thing. Well, glory to God. I ain't throwing off, but you can't ask some people in God. I'm going to look up to the ceiling. You can't ask some of God's people to show up more than twice in a week. I ain't looking at the musicians over here. I ain't looking at... No, I'm just messing with y'all. Come on. Oh, glory to God. What's in your heart? What's it? See, I can say this here now because I, you know, the Lord has shifted me to oversee a position and installed my wife as the pastor. So some of this, I can say this here now and not worry about getting in trouble. Y'all can just be mad at her if you're going to be mad at her. Because let me say something. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeves. Oh, glory to God. When you start moving forward, when we start building, when we actually, you can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. You just got to be ready to go, ready to work, ready to put some effort into it. Amen. I thank God because I knew it was God that stirred the people because guess what? They got in here and they did things. This place didn't look like this before.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI. Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Pronouns matter, especially when the pronoun is referring to God. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, in an article over at Religion News Service, a professor of religion, Mark Silk, suggested that we should start using the pronoun they when referring to God instead of he. While he offered a couple textual arguments to support this admonition, his primary aim in the article is to align how we talk about God with, quote, the imperative of gender-inclusive language. To be clear, Silk is not the first to suggest something like this. And it's not strictly accurate to call his ideas gender inclusivity. While in the past, calling God she or her or mother was the way to dismantle the patriarchy, Silk is suggesting something else. He's suggesting that we adopt a pronoun currently used in our cultural moment to degender people. The word they has become a way of excluding the idea of gender from our language and our thought. This, suggests Silk, should now extend to our language and our thoughts about God. Silk's best argument is that Elohim, a common Old Testament word for God, is plural. Well, yes and no, Elohim is plural, but so are the Hebrew words for face, panim, and Egypt, Mitzrayim. Nobody suggests that plural pronouns are required for these words. In short, this grammatical quirk of Hebrew just isn't as significant as Silk wants it to be. The deeper problem, however, with abandoning biblically gendered language is that these are terms that God has used to describe himself. While God does not reveal himself as male in any bodily gendered sense, like humans are, God does uniformly use masculine terms to reveal who he is. He acts like a mother, according to a few scripture passages, but he reveals himself as the Father throughout all of the scriptures. This may not seem like a big deal for some. After all, God's a big boy. He can handle being called her or they. And after all, God is infinite, beyond our comprehension, and too self-assured to be bothered with our pronouns. To that, I reply, no way. And here's what I mean. Call your spouse by the wrong name. See if it matters to her or to him. Describe your wife as who you want her to be, not the way she actually is. Tell her you love her for characteristics that she does not have. See how that goes over. You see, language matters, especially descriptive language. God is revealed as a person. This matters a lot. Things matter to persons that don't matter to objects, rocks and trees and